Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Spirit of Prophecy podcast. Appreciate you joining me for yet another episode. And today's is going to be very important right now, because there's a lot of talk again of Bible prophecy being fulfilled before our eyes, which is exactly what we all want to hear. We all want to hear that prophecy is being fulfilled before our eyes and it's happening. Everything's falling into place. The rapture is about to come if you're pre-trib, or the tribulation's about to start if you're post-trib. That's what we all want to hear. But at the same time, is that a fact, or are we being manipulated again? Are we being led up a creek by people who do not understand Bible prophecy? And so the prophecy that everyone is talking about is as a result of the fall of the Assad regime in Syria. And Syria right now, there's a lot of political turmoil going on there. We did on December 8th, we had the fall of the Assad regime. Here's an article about it on Wikipedia. We're not going to read all about it, but there's a Syrian civil war that began in 2011. And so a lot of stuff has been happening in Syria since 2011 and even before that. And every time it starts being talked about on the news, videos start popping up on YouTube about a prophecy about Damascus. And we're going to get to that here in a little bit. But Damascus is a very old city that we see mentioned a lot in the Bible. In fact, it's the capital of Syria. It's the largest city in Syria. It is also the oldest current capital in the world. And of course, too, it is known by some as the fourth holiest city in Islam. So this is when we start hearing the news use words and names of places that are in the Bible, the prophecy people get all excited, especially the pre-tribbers. Okay. I love picking on the dispensational pre-tribbers. I love them, but they're fun to make fun of, because they do. They hear Israel in the news. Oh, Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before our eyes. Damascus. Bible talks about Damascus. You know, and there's a lot of places over there in the Middle East that still have the same names that they did in Bible times. And so every time somebody hears those things mentioned in the news, their dispensationalism flares up and they just start believing everything they hear, as long as it's making them think that the rapture is about to come. They will believe whatever people are saying. And of course, me, as somebody who has a YouTube channel that is dedicated to Bible prophecy, it would be in my best interest to talk about this event in Syria as if it is a fulfillment of prophecy, as if we are seeing prophecy fulfilled before our eyes. If I can put on there just breaking news, rapture about to come, you know, Damascus imminently is going to be fallen. You know, if I said things like that, that gets all kinds of attention. And I am disgusted at people that will do and say anything to get clicks on YouTube. And what blows my mind is, no matter how often these people are wrong, they continue getting followings and getting people to listen to them being a chicken little, screaming the sky is falling, the tribulation is coming, the rapture is about to happen. And it's just, people love hearing what they want to hear. And on subjects like this, okay, I do not want to be the bearer of bad news, but I care very much about my credibility. And so I have to be honest. Now, what I'm going to show you about the prophecy that everybody believes is could be about to be fulfilled, or that has gone unfulfilled, when I show you the truth of this, it's going to make you uncomfortable, especially if you're a futurist. It's going to make you very uncomfortable. It's going to make you really uncomfortable if you're a pre-tribber and a dispensationalist, but even if you're a post-tribber, it's going to make you uncomfortable, because when we see the error that people are making, and we're going to see the error that people are making, it's going to make you uncomfortable, because it's going to reveal errors that futurists often make as well. Now, the advantage I have in this situation, because this is not a very talked about prophecy, because most Baptist preachers probably haven't preached sermons on this prophecy, I don't have to worry about pride and stubbornness and them just sticking to their guns with whatever they declared true in the past. So that's good. The problem is, okay, where I still might lose some of you, even if you have never locked yourself in a position on this, is when we see the errors that people made and how they came to this conclusion, it's going to also remind you of things that you have done very similar, in a very similar way, when it comes to how you interpret Old Testament prophecies and you apply them to the future. Often we struggle to see our own mistakes, but we can easily see other people's mistakes. But sometimes, for me especially, observing other people's mistakes has helped reveal mistakes that I have made, because often I'll see other people doing something wrong and I'll realize I do the same thing. And so when we see what other people are doing wrong with this prophecy, I think many of you futurists are going to see some of the same things that you do wrong, and that's going to make you uncomfortable. So again, this type of podcast is not one that's going to make me more popular, but I just refuse to sacrifice truth. And so here's the prophecy. Isaiah 17:1 says, "The burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap." And then what they will tell you is that prophecy has not been fulfilled, because did you hear on the news? What are they talking about? Damascus. You know why? Because it's still a city. Therefore, this has not been fulfilled. That's how they're interpreting that prophecy. Hey, now, let me just ask you a question, and I'm going to answer this later. What does it mean to you for something to be a city? When you think of a city, what do you think of? Are you thinking about what the Bible wrote about, or are you just thinking about what you think about? You know, we often apply our own definitions to words, and then we act like the Bible is using that word in the same way. And if you do that, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. And so what people will do, they will say Damascus is still a city, therefore that has not been fulfilled. I mean, does this look like a ruinous heap to you? Doesn't look like a ruinous heap to me. I mean, looks pretty much like this place is still a city. It's still the capital in Syria. Therefore, this prophecy has not been fulfilled. Well, I don't know. Let's make sure we are interpreting that properly. Now, the key to getting this wrong is being completely ignorant of the context of Isaiah chapter 17, being completely unaware of what was going on when this prophecy was given. If you are unaware of those things, it's going to be real easy for a prophecy preacher to just come and put one over on you. Now, we obviously do not have time to go through all the history involving this prophecy in Isaiah 17. I'm going to hit a few highlights for you, but let me just take a commercial break right here. Now, I am not getting paid for this at all, but one thing that will help you not make mistakes like this in prophecies is the chronological Bible. Now, I love this Reese chronological Bible. It has dispensations in there, and that annoys the fire out of me. There's some things in here that I don't agree with, but I love the way it lays things out in the Bible. It's very helpful reading things in chronological order. And so the way it's all laid out, it really helps you put certain things in perspective. In fact, this one I'm showing you, this is my second chronological Bible. I'm just about done reading through it for the 10th time. Here's my original one. It's all wore out. I read through this one 8 times, and then I'm just about to finish this one for the second time. Somebody from the church saw the horrible condition this one was in from just lots and lots of use, and they got me a new one in better condition, and I'm in the process of wearing this one out. I use it as a reference tool a lot, and it helped me a lot for this study as well, because of how things are laid out. And so let me just tell you a few things about Damascus, okay, from the Bible. First off, Damascus is a very old city. In fact, Genesis 14:15 says, "And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus." And that was a story with Abraham in chapter 15, verse 2. And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" So Damascus, we see many references to it going all the way back to the time of Abraham. Damascus is older than Jerusalem. It's older than Israel. It is a very old city. We see in 2 Samuel 8:6, then David put garrisons. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David, and brought gifts, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. So Syria, old nation, Damascus, and they, we see here that between them and David, things were pretty good. But in Isaiah chapter 17, we are hundreds of years later, what was going on in Isaiah's time? Okay, what happened in Syria of Damascus? Now, we don't want to confuse Syria with Assyria. They're two different places. Assyria, its capital was Nineveh. It was kind of a main city there. We see the prophecies about Nineveh. But Damascus was the capital of Syria. And what was going on in Isaiah's time? Well, obviously, we're going to see some references to it in Isaiah. I'm going to show you those. But in Isaiah, when you read about Damascus, if you just go to the references to Damascus in Isaiah, there's going to be a lot of information that you're going to miss because Isaiah is giving prophecies. Okay, but if we go to 2 Kings, we're going to see more details into what was going on when those prophecies were given. So I'm just going to hit a few highlights for you just so you kind of have a backdrop of what was going on in Isaiah 17. But in 2 Kings 15 verse 37, it says, "In those days, the Lord began to send against Judah Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah." So what we have here, we have an alliance between Syria and Samaria, or the northern kingdom in Israel, going against the southern kingdom of Judah. That's what's taking place right here in this story. We have this. We have King Ahaz in 2 Kings chapter 16. Now, I'm not going to read through 2 Kings chapter 16. I'm just going to basically give you a summary of what's in it. I would encourage you to go read it. But we see a story of Ahaz, king of Judah, who is wicked, and what he ended up doing because Syria was coming after him with Samaria. And Samaria is Israel. They're teaming up with Syria. What Ahaz, who was a wicked king, did is he ends up teaming up with Assyria. And so he ends up sending gifts to Tiglath-Pileser, I think is how you say his name. Probably saying that wrong. And he gave him treasures from the house of God, which was wrong. So Assyria would come and help him fight. And they did. And they were able to defeat Syria and Samaria as a result of this. But one of the things that happened too, while they were over there, King Ahaz, he went to Damascus and he saw an altar that they had there. And Ahaz made an altar like it, and he put it within the temple complex north of the real altar in Israel. And he offered up sacrifices on that. That was super wicked what Ahaz was doing during that time. Ahaz was a very wicked king. Yes, we see Ahaz win a military victory, but he does it by teaming up with the Assyrians, who were probably just as wicked, if not more wicked, than the Syrians. And so right after that is where we go to Isaiah chapter 7. Now, I want us to look at the prophecies in Isaiah chapter 7 because these are very well-known prophecies, because we are going to see a messianic prophecy in there. But, and I have talked about this in this program, I talk about it all the time, but often in the Old Testament, whenever they would give a prophecy about something that was going to take place in their day, it would include a messianic prophecy of something that was going to be hundreds of years in the future, roughly 700 years when it comes to this particular prophecy. So again, what happens though, we're all familiar with the part that's about Jesus, and we're all familiar with how that part was fulfilled. But often we're very ignorant about what that prophecy meant to them in that day. And so understand, prophecies can have things in there that could have reference to our future. But if we ignore what the message was for the intended audience in that day, we're in danger of making everything in there about our future, and then we're going to go into a lot of foolishness and we're going to make a lot of mistakes. And so Isaiah chapter 7, let's go ahead and we'll start reading in verse 1. Notice what it says. It says, And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up towards Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved in the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fooler's field. And say unto him, Take thee and be quiet, and fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Now, there's so much right here, but first off, right here, we're seeing what was taking place in 2 Kings chapter 16. This is before Ahaz makes that alliance with Assyria. But notice, we have a prophecy here about the northern kingdom that within 65 years, they're going to cease to be. Now, when did that happen? Well, if you go in the days of Hezekiah, we go a little farther down after this, that's when the Assyrians came in and they took the northern kingdom. And we see, though, that they failed against the southern kingdom because they turned to the Lord during that time. But sure enough, that prophecy there that we see was fulfilled, and it even gave a time frame within 65 years. And it sure enough happened. We can see that prophecy fulfilled in the Bible when the northern kingdom was taken over, much more before the southern kingdom was taken over. And so let's keep reading in verse 10. Notice what it says. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the days that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. So notice right there in that prophecy, we have a prophecy that for sure was messianic and fulfilled by Jesus Christ. But at the same time, we cannot ignore the fact that this prophecy also had a message for them in that day. And that was about these two nations that were coming after them, Damascus and Samaria, that they were coming after them, and they were going to lose their kings. That's what we are seeing in this prophecy right here. And we're going to see, and I'm going to prove to you that that was fulfilled shortly after. And so obviously, while there was not another virgin birth that happened in that day, but within the amount of time, a woman who was a virgin would conceive, you know, doesn't mean it has to be a virgin birth in that case. And by the time that child is able to know difference between good and evil and all that, the land is going to lose both their kings. It's just basically, it was very poetic and it was very prophetic, showing that within a short time, these people are going to lose their kings. That's what it's showing right there. Obviously, there was a very specific messianic prophecy in there that was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. But we don't see the land being forsaken both their kings in Jesus' day. That didn't happen in Jesus' day. But these kingdoms that were coming after them. Sure enough, that did happen in their day. And so let's go ahead and keep on reading on this, because again, this is so important we get a hold of this. And so it says in verse 17, the Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the days that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria, and they shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys and in the holes of the rocks and upon the thorns and upon all bushes. In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is higher, namely by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall consume the beard. And basically, we're not going to read the rest of this, but basically what it's doing here is it's showing that these kingdoms are going to be destroyed by the king of Assyria, which is what happened. Now, nobody talks about that in Isaiah chapter 17. If Isaiah 17 is yet to be fulfilled, then it's the Assyrians that should be destroying them. But wait, we don't really have the Assyrians. Oh, you know, it's Iran or it's Iraq or whatever. Or Israel. Because again, Israel is going behind there and everybody's hoping for Israel to just wipe them all out. Like that's fulfillment of prophecy. Well, if Israel did do that, or if America did that, it wouldn't be a fulfillment of prophecy because it was supposed to be the Assyrians. And the Assyrians did, in fact, go through and destroy these cities and kill their kings. That happened. Now let's go to chapter 8. Okay, let's go to chapter 8, right after chapter 7. And it says, moreover, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll and write with the man's pen concerning Maher Shalal Hashbaz. And I took unto me faithful witnesses to record, Uriah the priest, Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. And I went into the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name Maher-shalal Hashbaz. For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Syria. All right, king of Assyria. Now, did you see that? Here in the very next chapter, after this prophecy about a virgin conceiving, we see a prophetess conceiving. And we see again, before he is able to cry, my father and my mother, these kings are going to be destroyed. That's what we're seeing right there. Okay, again, I'm not saying another virgin birth happened in that day. I'm just saying that prophecy had a timeline in it. It had a message for that day. And it included a messianic reference that was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Many Old Testament prophecies are like that. But without a doubt, okay, we didn't see anything in Jesus' day happen in Samaria and in Damascus or Syria. We didn't see anything like that. But you know what? We did see something like that happen in their day. We absolutely see that happen. And so when we get to, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 17 and notice what it says. So the burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city and it shall be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aurora are forsaken. They shall be for flocks which shall lie down and none shall make them afraid. The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim and the kingdom from Damascus and the remnant of Syria, and they shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, saith the Lord of hosts. And in that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall wax lean. So, again, everybody wants to make, Isaiah 17 has to be about Damascus today. But wait, what about the parts about Samaria? Because, again, everybody would agree all of that stuff took place in that day. See, everybody isolates just that one verse, and they assume you're ignorant of the history of what's been going on here. And we do. We're not going to take time to go through all of it, but later on, okay, we're going to see the Assyrians, join up with Judah, and they kill both of those kings. But also later on, the Assyrians basically completely take over these areas. And so, interestingly enough, the next time we see Damascus mentioned, chronologically, it would be in Jeremiah 49. It says in verse 23, concerning Damascus, Hamath is confounded, and Arpad, for they have heard evil tidings. They are faint-hearted. There is sorrow on the sea. It cannot be quiet. Damascus is waxed feeble and turneth herself to flee, and fear has seized on her. Anguish and sorrow hath taken her as a woman in travail. How is the city of praise not left, the city of my joy? Therefore her young men shall fall in her streets, and all the men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will kindle a fire on the wall of Damascus, and it shall consume the palaces of Ben-Hadad. Now, basically, historically what took place, you know, and biblically, we see this all in the Bible. But while Assyria defeated the kings in that battle against Judah, later on, the Babylonians came and they defeated the Assyrian Empire. And they brought even greater destruction to places like Syria and Damascus. And so in Isaiah, we're seeing the prophecies very specific about them losing their king, but we're also seeing just how what is going to become of this city. It's going to cease being a city, and it is going to become a ruinous heap. Okay? And I'm going to show you that that was fulfilled, that that took place. You don't think it has because you are misdefining things in the Bible, and you are just applying whatever definition you want to things. But again, after the prophecy in Jeremiah, we do not see Damascus mentioned again except as a reference point for borders in Ezekiel and once in Zechariah. Okay, so again, just using it as a reference point does not mean the city did not cease. Okay, for example, if Chicago just got wiped out, let's say it got nuked, okay, it would cease being a city. You know, people wouldn't be able to live there. Everything's destroyed. The government of Chicago, the leadership, it would be gone. But at the same time, you know, we would still refer to that region or that geography as Chicago. It wouldn't be inappropriate for us to do that, even though it doesn't really have a government. There's really nothing there. There's not even people there. We would still refer to it as Chicago as a reference point when talking about geographic locations. And that's what we're seeing. That's what we see in Ezekiel taking place and once in Zechariah. Okay, now, some of you think, well, no, it's mentioned again after that in Amos. Okay, here's the reason you think that, because you haven't read the chronological Bible. Amos is actually before this prophecy that we saw in Isaiah. Chronologically speaking, Amos 1:1 says, the words of Amos, who is among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. So it tells us exactly when Amos was written. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherd shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron, and I will send a fire to the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will break also the bar of Damascus, and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Avon, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden, and the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, saith the Lord. So do y'all see that? That right there was Amos was before all this, in the days of Uzziah. And then you have Uzziah, I believe it was Jotham, and then you have Ahaz, and which is when the Isaiah prophecy was given during the days of Ahaz later. You know why? Because Damascus had a lot of judgment coming their way. So again, don't look at Amos and think, yep, that's also about a future prophecy in Damascus. No. That was about the judgment that came during the time of Isaiah. Amos, this prophecy was given before those prophecies we read about in Isaiah. Okay, the book of Isaiah covers a pretty long period of time, and several different prophecies. It prophesies against a bunch of different places. Same thing with Amos. Amos is giving prophecies against a bunch of different places. And Damascus is one of the places, because judgment was going to be coming on them from the Assyrians. And so the New Testament has several references to Damascus. Okay, the geography never goes away. And the name can even stay. But the system was destroyed and the city did become heaps. Just because they have built over those things does not mean the prophecy wasn't fulfilled. And it's important that you understand that the geography does not go away and it doesn't have to go away. So in Isaiah chapter 17, let's go back there and let's read it one more time. It says, the burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city and it shall be a ruinous heap. Okay. Now, what the prophecy people are going to do, they're going to come along and they are going to tell you what it means for it to be a city. It means, I guess they would assume it means there can't be any people living in it and it can never come back. Okay. But no, that's absolutely not the case at all. In fact, why don't we look up the definition in Webster's 1828 of a city? This is very important. Notice what it says. So in a general sense, a large town, a large number of houses and inhabitants established in one place. Second definition, in a more appropriate sense, a corporate town, a town or collective body of inhabitants incorporated and governed by particular officers as a mayor and alderman. This is the sense of the word in the United States. In Great Britain, a city is said to be a town corporate that has a bishop and a cathedral church, but this is not always the fact. So do you all see that in English, okay, in America, in Great Britain, okay, a city, it's more than just a geography, okay, but it's a corporate group. And within that corporate group, they will have borders. You know, they will have city limits. It will have jurisdictions and it will have leadership. That's what a city is. And so if that kingdom, if that government falls, the city falls. And that's exactly what we're seeing prophesied about, how the land is going to be forsaken of her king. Their king was destroyed. Their system fell. Later on, they go into captivity. They've got new laws. They've got new leadership. They've got new rules. And just because they continue to call it Damascus does not mean it is necessarily the same city. No, the city had fallen. You can't make a geography go away, but you absolutely can make a system of government go away. And we've seen that happen many times. And so just because it is being called, you know, by the same name today does not mean that that was not fulfilled. Same thing with Israel. Okay, obviously the geography of Israel never went away, but the system did. The system was gone for a very long time. And as far as I'm concerned, it's still gone. Okay, just because a completely new system has arisen, a completely new corporate body has showed up and they have used the same name, it does not even mean it's the same thing. And I can promise you that the city of Damascus, its government looks very different today than it did back in that day. Okay, that city fell, it's gone. Okay, let me show you something else too. Also, it becoming ruinous heaps. What does that mean? Because that also happened with Israel. For example, you know, the Bible prophesied that Zion would become heaps and dens of dragons. That absolutely happened. And you can go over there today and you can see where they have dug down several feet to find rubble that dates back to the time of the first century and to the time of Christ. Because you know what happens in places like that and in cities like that? When they get abandoned, when they get destroyed, when they get left alone for decades and centuries, they end up just dust and dirt and everything just ends up blowing over it. And things begin to grow on top of it to where often you can't even tell a city was there. They have all over Israel, they have these abnormal hills that are referred to as tells. And they will tell you there's an old city underneath that hill. It just looks like a mountain. It looks like a big hill. But they will tell you there's a city underneath there. You know what it is? It's a heap. And that absolutely happened in Israel, that absolutely has happened in Damascus as well. It also became heaps. The things that were there, the landmarks that were there, the buildings that were there, they were destroyed, they were covered up, they were forgotten, they were hidden. That's what happens in places like that over there when they're left alone for hundreds of years. That would happen today in places in America. If they were left alone long enough, things would begin to crumble, they begin to fall, dust and things would blow over these places, and eventually it'd be hard to tell that anything was ever there unless you dug down. Now let me show you this about Damascus. So in Damascus it is, it's this right here is a picture of the Great Mosque, which is considered like the fourth holiest spot in Islam. And so here's a picture of it right here, going the wrong way. But notice this says, located in the heart of the teeming city of Damascus, the Great Mosque is known to be the oldest existing monumental architecture in the Islamic world. For millennia, before the birth of Islam, however, the city of Damascus was a sacred site of ancient and long-forgotten cultures. Damascus is thought by some scholars to be the oldest continuously settled city in the Middle East, and as such, would have witnessed scores of different religious cultures. The recognized history of the temple site is known to go back to at least 1000 BC, when the Aramaeans built shrines for Hadad, the god of storms and lightning, and the goddess Atargites, Venus, upon the foundations of these Aramaean sanctuaries. The Romans built a massive temple of the god Jupiter. Excavations done in the early 1900s have revealed rock inscriptions that give construction dates for the Jupiter Temple of AD 15 and 16 and 37 and 38. The Jupiter Temple, which has almost completely disappeared, or is buried deep beneath existing structures, stood upon a platform known as a temenos, or sacred enclosure, that measured about 385 meters from east to west and 305 meters from north to south. The outer walls of temenos still survive and are distinguished as large blocks of dressed masonry. So I'm going to stop reading right there. But I don't know if y'all caught that there, but notice that how several different empires have taken over during that time, and how the Romans also had it for a period of time. They built a temple to Jupiter that they said is completely buried. And again, how does that happen? It happens when places get abandoned, forgotten. They get covered with dust, and the way they do it over there, if you ever get a chance to go over the Middle East, they're always just building over the old cities. And I have seen this with my own eyes, where you can see modern structures, and on the edge of it, you can see areas where they've excavated down, and you can see ancient structures that go back thousands of years sometimes. When these things get covered up, they don't just dig it all out and start from the very, you know, surface that the city began with. No, they just build on top. That's how it works. And so everything you're seeing in Damascus today, understand, it's just a city that's been built on the ruinous heaps. It's a completely different city. It's a completely different system of government. It's a completely different landscape than it was originally. You know why? Because Damascus was destroyed. The city ceased to be a city in the England, in the same sense that the Webster's 1828 dictionary speaks of. See, what you all are doing that are wrong on prophecy is you are speaking of Damascus only in geographic terms. And then you're just adding things to the scripture. You're adding things to the prophecy that the prophet and God never intended to be added. And so, again, I hate to be a bearer of bad news. I wish I could tell you all that stuff going on over there, you know, is fulfillment of prophecy. And folks, this could be a sign. We're about to go into the tribulation. Rapture's about to come, something like that. I wish I could do that. But you know what? You got to stop getting all hyped up every time we see another news story about a red heifer. Every time we see another news story about the Euphrates River drying up. Every time we see anything happening in Damascus. Listen, the government has fallen in Damascus over and over again. And folks, it just happened again. The city fell again. But you know what? The geography is still there. But what's going on right now? Now a new system is being set up. A new city is being set up. And things are going to change drastically again, as it has many times throughout history. And every time it happens, you know what we're going to hear? We're going to hear people going to Isaiah 17. That hasn't been fulfilled yet. This could be it, folks. Breaking news, and y'all are going to click on those headlines just because you want somebody to do something. You want them to show you something on YouTube, something on the news that tells you that the rapture is about to come. And folks, you know, a lot of our thinking on prophecy is so distorted, I think, just from desperation to want to see something happen. Let's not fall for that. Before you let people suck you into these things, Old Testament prophecies, make sure you're aware of the history of it. You're aware of the context of it. Isaiah 17:1 has been fulfilled. What is going on in Syria right now has nothing to do with that prophecy. So appreciate y'all watching this. I hate to give you bad news, but I got to give you the truth. And so I hope it was helpful. Thank you for watching this. God bless.